I'm going to read from John chapter 15 if you want to turn there. Today it is 1 year exactly since I was inducted here. It's been a joy.
Amen.
It's been a joy. And I'm excited about the future. So thank you for letting me carry on serving you. Thanks for not throwing me out yet. Hopefully I'll stay a while longer. And just to remind you again, next Sunday, the 31st, we won't be here. Because we're going to gather with 11 other churches for church on the beach at Cliff Park. So if you're able to join us, please do. Bring a picnic with you. Bring some fun stuff to do. We'll stay for a while and fellowship together. Some people are going to get baptized and it should be a great morning. If you need help getting there, can you let me know? We'll do our best to help you with transport and make sure everybody gets there that wants to be there. That'd be great. John 15, and I'll read from verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead I call you friends, for everything that I learned from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Amen. Over the last few weeks, I've been trying to talk to you about John 15. Fortunately, you'll get a break from me next week. And Brian came up to me last Sunday and said, what's the fruit? That was his question, what's the fruit? Because in reference to John 15 over the past couple of weeks, I've talked a lot about fruit. But at no point have I tried to tell you what the fruit was. So I want to talk to you about the fruit this morning. Or try to anyway. It's a regular thing that's used in Scripture. So in Psalm 1, the psalmist writes, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. In Colossians 1, 11, Paul prays that the church in Colossae would live a life worthy of the calling they've received, bearing fruit in every good work. And those are just a few verses that refer to fruitfulness. And repeatedly in John 15, Jesus talks about us bearing fruit. So let me talk to you about what fruit isn't. Fruit isn't something I create or am solely responsible for. Fruit isn't something I create or am solely responsible for. John 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The ability to bear fruit is utterly dependent on the vine. If you're not in the vine, you cannot bear fruit. That's what he says. And I have this thought, and because I think we understand we're meant to be fruitful. I think we know we're meant to be fruitful. In John 15 and verse 8, it actually says that you prove you're his disciples by bearing much fruit. So I think we work really hard to be fruitful. I think we actually, our desire is that we would be fruitful because we know we're meant to be fruitful, so we work quite hard on being fruitful. And if I can say it like that, fruit is the outcome. It's not the goal. Galatians 5 outlines the fruit of the Spirit for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And I'm fascinated, having been around church for a little while and listened to a lot of people speak, at our tendency to spend time looking at each of those individual items and talking about how we implement them into our lives, when actually the fruit of the Spirit is actually a consequence of walking by the Spirit. I can try really hard to be loving, but actually, what I need to do is walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit to keep in step with the Spirit. That's what Galatians 5 says. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of your flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit that will be evident in your life because you walk by the Spirit will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. But actually, what I end up doing is going, I really want to be really loving, so I'm going to focus my attention on being really loving. Because then I can justify myself. Because then I can tell myself I'm a good Christian. Because then I can tell myself I'm doing well. And the reality is, I try really hard to be really loving, and I don't nail it, so then I justify myself against others. Luke 10 is really interesting to me. Let me read to you from verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell at the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. I think I find myself quite often going, who is my neighbour? Because if I can satisfy myself that somebody's not, it makes it much easier for my life when I'm trying to achieve the fruit by myself. If I can tell myself they're not my neighbour, so I don't need to love them, it's much easier for me. Because what I'm trying to do is something I can't do by myself. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm trying to love really hard, but what I need to do is walk with the Spirit. Yeah. And the natural consequence of that is something develops in me that's not of me. And the whole point of fruit is that it's not of you. That's why the Father gets glorified in it. Because people see something in you that's not of you and they go, that's unusual. Yeah. And if you can do it in your own strength, it's not fruit. But Luke 10 continues. Verse 38, it says, As Jesus and his disciples were on their way home, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are indeed worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus comes to the home of these two sisters. And I'm going to make the little leap that, driven by her affection for Jesus, or at least her concern to show respect to him, Martha's really concerned that everything's in place. She's prioritizing working really hard to make sure the preparations are right for the benefit of her guests. Isn't it amazing how quickly what she was doing for the benefit of her guest turns into her confronting her guest? Isn't that fascinating? She's preparing for Jesus. This is for his benefit. But while she's doing it, she's really frustrated that her sister's not working as hard. So now she's confronting Jesus about the fact that he's letting her sister not do as much as her. And the guest that you were trying to welcome, you're now having an argument with. Don't you care? I'm doing all of this, and then she sat there doing nothing. I wonder how many of us find ourselves there sometimes. We're committed to fruitfulness. We want fruit, so we work really hard. And the people who aren't working as hard as us, as far as we can tell, Lord, what's wrong with them? If it's for him, I don't want to be confronting him about other people. Mary understood something Martha didn't. She chose something better. And I think our tendency at times is to work really hard at trying to bear fruit rather than abide or remain. And our focus of attention is on the fruit, not the remaining. I'm going to tell you, fruit grows out of your position in the vine, not because of your incredible effort. I have never at an apple and thought, do you know what that branch did really well? And Titus 3:3 puts it like this. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Amen. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. What does he want you to stress to people so that they'll focus on doing good? It wasn't your righteousness that saved you. He saved us because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out generously through Christ Jesus, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It's all about your position that's already established in Christ. That's what leads you to doing good, apparently. And I actually think very often what leads us to doing good is that we're not really sure if we're good enough. We're not really convinced that we're good. And a good Christian should be... And a Christian that's really a Christian... But I also think that in our desire to justify ourselves, we frustrate the pruning process. Because while I'm looking at me and comparing me with others, I can tell myself I'm okay. I take my life and play top trumps with you. Well, they might be more loving than me, but I think I'm more patient. I'm sure I've seen them get annoyed quite quickly. And it's not quite like that. But we do this thing where it's like, well, you know, have a little look around. We're doing better than them. And if I can say it like this, my conviction about fruit is that what matters is where it comes from, not what it looks like. I would love to be able to be really prescriptive here today and tell you these are the things that are fruitful. But let me turn to scripture for a minute to try and explain why I don't necessarily want to try and do that. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says that praise is the fruit of my lips. But Matthew 15 and verse 8 says these people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain and their teachings are merely human rules. In Romans 1 and verse 13, Paul writes, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I've seen among other Gentiles. He wants to minister among them for fruitfulness. 1, verse 15. He writes, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this I rejoice. But I'm going to tell you, if you preach Christ from false motives, it's not fruit in your life. Do you understand what there's some stuff? So in Matthew 7, I've made reference to it many times here. Maybe it's a reminder for me as much as anyone else. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, the reality is, praise can be fruit. But you can praise and it not be real. Yeah. Ministry can be fruit. But you can minister and it not be sincere. Your motives can be all wrong. Your heart can be all over the show, innit? You can perform miracles in the name of Jesus and it not be fruit from your life. Because fruit only grows from remaining in the vine. And Jesus says, I don't even know those people. Yeah. And what matters with fruit is where it comes from, not what it looks like. And I think very often what we spend our time doing is wondering what we look like. We're quite good at pretense. I know what I'm meant to look like as a Christian. And so I convince myself sometimes some things are love in my life that aren't love. Because I smiled when you were rude to me and went, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what went on in my heart?
Yeah.
What went on in my heart was something totally different. I tell you, I wiped the floor with you in my heart. If you'd have heard what I actually said in me. Blah. And I convince myself sometimes that I'm being fruitful. Because it sort of looks like fruit. But it's from the totally wrong place. I'm going to tell you the means matter. Where it comes from matters. Why you do it matters. What drives you in it matters. That's what fruit comes from. I don't want to settle for imitation fruit. So let me talk about it in a more real sense. It's my 1 year anniversary of being the pastor here. Little confession. I have not done everything I could to get people to come to this church. There we go. That one will be getting raised at least, I think. I've not done everything I could to get people through the doors here. There's all sorts of things I might have done that I've chosen not to. Because whilst I believe people coming to join our fellowship, it expanding, lives being changed, people making commitment to faith, seeing this building full can be fruit, I also recognise it might not necessarily be. 2 Timothy 4:3 tells me that a time's coming when people will abandon sound doctrine with their itching ears and find teachers to suit their own desires and they'll gather around them. And we could do everything we could to get people here, but it's not by any means possible. There's some things I'm not going to let go of in order to see people come to this church. There's some things I'm not going to neglect in order that people might sit here. Because I believe it matters more that people hear the truth than we fill the building. Does that make sense? I don't want fruit by any means. I want fruit that comes from abiding in the vine. I want fruit that grows from a place where I'm connected to Him. In Revelation 3, Jesus speaking to the church in Sardis says, I know your deeds. You've a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief in the night, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. You've a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. You look like something you're not. It's not real what everybody else thinks about you. Wow. I wonder in reality how many of us live more concerned about other people's opinion of us than the reality. I want you to see me as fruitful. I want you to see me as a good Christian. I want you to think positively of me. And so I get caught up trying to demonstrate something I'm not sometimes. And actually, some of us, we've got stuck living, putting on something for some days. It doesn't actually matter what everybody else thinks about you. Let me be crystal clear. You can fool me. You can fool everybody else in this room, but you will never fool him. You can convince us all that your life is having a great and fruitful impact for the kingdom. And we might all be taken in by it. God's not concerned with your reputation, He's concerned with your reality. He's not concerned with what everybody else has got to say about you, He's concerned with what He knows to be true. So I want my life to be fruitful. But that means I'm not chasing the fruit. I'm chasing the vine. Yeah. It means I'm not pursuing the fruit with all of my labor and effort. But I am striving after Christ. Because there's one other distinctive about fruit in John 15. verse 16. It lasts. It lasts. My prayer is that none of us would settle for glimpses of positivity in our life. I think there was a bit of love in there. Well done, me. Well, that seemed, that was almost like fruit, wasn't it? I want fruit that lasts in my life. I want the consistent basis of my character to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. I don't want to do it sometimes. I want fruit that lasts. Yeah. I want what happens at Sunderland Elam Church to matter for a generation that's to come. Yeah. For people that come after us. For people we never know and never meet. Assuming the Lord doesn't come back before then. I want it to last. And so I'm not playing games about, can I achieve this by myself? Because Jesus is crystal clear, apart from me you can do nothing. But can I urge you, don't chase the fruit, chase the vine. Don't pursue the consequence of a relationship with him. Pursue your relationship with him. Grow in that. And can I say, there's no shame about where you're at right now. But sincere growth won't come by convincing me you're somewhere you're not. Or playing a game about it. You'll grow because you pursue him. Some big churches have collapsed over most of my life. People fall, things go wrong. And what seems to be a recurring theme among them is that good and bad get put on a balancing scale. And if I can convince myself that the good outweighs the bad, I'll ignore the bad. If I can convince myself that there's some good stuff coming from my life, I can neglect the reality that there's also some stuff that's not so great. I want my life to bear fruit that reflects the vine. And if he wants to make me more fruitful, I want to be part of the process. Not because it changes my position in him. But because it's the result of my position in him. I can't achieve fruit by myself. I can't do it on my own. I want to stop pretending like I can. Because what he's got to offer me is far more than actually some of the stuff I settle for as well. I'm going to shut up. Time's gone. And at no point am I trying to tell you what fruit is. But I think it matters. I think it matters. I think as we define things in our lives, it matters that we're not playing a game with God.
Yeah.
I can praise him and it be the fruit of my lips. But I can also praise him and my heart be far from him. And it not be fruit at all that reflects on the vine. I can minister and it be fruit. But I can minister and never know him. I can try my best to be loving and kind and patient. And I might have some natural predisposition to some more than others. And I'll settle for the fact that, oh, you know, I've done really well here. Or I can live by the Spirit. And allow the consequence of that to be something far more than I can imagine or understand. I don't think it's helpful for me to be prescriptive about fruit. Because what he wants to do with your life is what he wants to do with your life. But what matters is where it comes from. Chase after the vine, you'll be fruitful. Remain in the vine, you'll be fruitful. Stick with him, you'll be fruitful. And it might not look like anything anybody expected. And it might look totally different than you assumed it would. But that's where fruit comes from. Not from your best efforts to produce it.